Father in our God, we do thank you that you privilege us to serve you in the ways that we are able to do so, and pray especially for those of us who are parenting, or those of us even who can come alongside them and encourage them, and just pray that the material this morning, which in many ways is preparatory for the folks in this class, something that's yet future, I pray that the thinking that we put into this endeavor dealing with teens this early on will be something that kind of helps them as they guide the process early on, and something that will help them when they get to that point. So I'll just pray for all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, parenting teenagers. I just want to do a kind of a brief high-level review. We're not going to go through all the details we went through last week, obviously. And we just kind of laid this out, you know, and pointed out that while we're talking about parenting in this particular category of kids, there are many principles that apply to any kid any age. And so you might ask the question, well, so why do we need a special section on dealing with teenagers? Well, that's because there are some things that do change and some things that are different as your kids become older. we pointed out a couple things last week. We said, for example, if you're doing your job right when they're younger, then by the time the kids get older, you won't need to discipline them near as much. And even the discipline looks different. I pointed out that most parents, by the time their kids become older teenagers, they're not spanking, but they're grounding them or using consequences as a form of discipline, which I think is fine. we point out that the amount of control you have in the life of your kids decreases as they get older. You don't have the kind of control over them that you once had. When they're little, you have just about total control. And when they're older, especially once they get older and move out, you have no control. So you're going from total control to no control over the course of, 20 years or whatever. And that transition, everybody has to adjust as you're going through that to be, kind of in sync with where things are. And as your kids become older, they'll become, hopefully, more self-sufficient and less dependent on you. A toddler can do nothing for him or herself, whereas by the time a teen becomes an older teenager, they really are old enough to probably live on their own. And, they may take advantage of the household benefits of, having a roof over their head, or you provide food or whatever you do, but for the most part, they don't need that. They should be able to work and support themselves and so forth. So transition from totally helpless to being totally independent. And there's this whole continuum, and especially as they get into the teenage years, you start to see the more of the adult things coming in, and you see the childhood things going away. The person who writes the comic Zits has apparently been sitting in the class, and I just didn't know it. But this week, there have been several that were just like they were sitting here last week. so this is Jeremy, and I think that's his name, in Zits. Mom says, now text me when you get there and check in every hour, and then call me when you leave. And he's like, Mom, I thought you wanted me to become independent. She says, well, I do. But that doesn't mean you don't have to work for it. So this is the kind of the give and take here of, parental control and parental oversight. And in some ways, he's treating him like a little kid, but in some ways, that control still needs to be there. And he's rolling his eyes. there was another one a little bit later on in the week. He comes in, and as he's looking at his phone, announces to his mom, I put the trash cans out, apparently a job she'd given him. She goes, what? On your own? Without me nagging or threatening you? This is the greatest thing that's happened to me since today you were potty trained. He's sitting there with his friend. And his friend goes, man, I thought my mom made me feel awkward. He goes, dude, you're not even in my league. So sometimes, as we're watching our kids transition through these stages, it's like, one moment you're wanting to be in control and you're disappointed they're not farther along. And next minute it's like, gosh, I can't believe how much they're doing already. Really? That's great. So this is the stage we're in. I thought the comics exemplified it well. We pointed out, again, just a brief review here. The teen years are both exciting and difficult at the same time. teens are able to do more things as they get older, and therefore they have more opportunities. But at the same time, teens have a certain amount of insecurity and anxiety over their ability to take on these new responsibilities. So there's that balance going on. There's also a sort of a heightening of peer pressure for teens. It's not unique to teens. Even little kids have peer pressure, and even adults, we have peer pressure. We worry about what people at work think about us, or what people at church think about us, or what our neighbors think about us. So it's not a monopoly, but it seems to be a really big emphasis with teens. And then we began giving advice for raising teenagers, and I got to point one last week, which is, first and foremost, teach your teens to fear the Lord. And we gave you Proverbs 1:7, and we talked about that. And, you know, I feel like that's just such an important thing to be teaching your kids. But I'm not going to stop there. At this point, we're going to get into new material, and I'm going to give you some new things to think about that are more of a practical nature. Not that fearing the Lord is not practical, but, you know, you think of that more in terms of theologically and so forth. Some of the other things we're going to bring up are, honestly, they're going to be areas, and I'm just going to tell you this before we even get into it, I think I can and actually have given you some biblical principles to back up some of the things I'm going to say. In some areas, I think it's just pure wisdom, and I'm giving you my opinion, which means you are totally welcome to disagree with it. Not that I think my opinion isn't going to be helpful to you. If I didn't think it was, I wouldn't give it to you. But at the same time, I'm open to, and we're going to have some Q&A time, more extensive than usual, I hope, this time, on some of these things, because they get into areas where you'd be like, oh, I don't know about that. And I'm cool with that. So, here's my first one. Give your teenagers room to fail. Let them make some mistakes and suffer the natural consequences, as long as it's not dangerous, of course. We so quickly want to move in and stop our kids in general, and even teenagers, and moms tend to be notorious about this, but dads can do it too. you just want to move in and not let them feel any pain, not let them suffer any consequences. And that's not helpful for them. You know, if they forget to take their lunch to work or to school, then they'll have to figure out what they're going to do about that. You don't, like, have to run it down there for them. Or, you know, do something to compensate. Or if they have a homework assignment that was given to them in school and they wait till the last minute to do it, which most of them will do, you don't have to be there to help them do it. And you know, because they're running behind and they're up late. You know, that's their problem. That's their problem. Let them suffer the consequences. And I could go on and on. I mean, there's just so many things that, unless it's just like harmful or dangerous, something like that. How do you learn to do things? Because when you make mistakes or when you do stupid things, then you have consequences, right? Well, let consequences teach them. You don't have to always be the teacher. I kind of consider that almost God's way of providentially teaching us, because He providentially makes things happen in our lives that, you know, you reap what you sow, the scriptures say. And let them reap what they sow. Don't let them sow disastrous problems, and then you come along and try to stop the disaster and take all the flack yourself. So that's my first one. Here's another area, and we've kind of hit on all these things before, but I'm going to really go into it again today. Talk with your teens, and specifically discuss tough issues with them. You know, you name it: alcohol, drugs, entertainment, dating versus courtship, which, wherever you come down on that, politics. There's so many things. Talk to them about the issues of the day. Talk to them about things that are going on in your family and in your life and in the nation. And, you know, engage them. And then I say, allow them to say what they think or feel about anything without your immediate criticisms or corrections. You don't have to agree with them. Just let them express themselves as with a friend. Now, you might be listening to that going, whoa, wait a minute. You said I can't disagree? Or what? No, I'm not saying that. But here's what I'm suggesting. rather than always teaching. Now, I've told you, I think teaching is good. I think you should have family worship time. I think you should always be teaching and talking to your kids about things. But if they come to you and they come up with one of these off-the-wall outlooks on something, which they will do, your internally, your reaction is going to be, what? Where did you get that nonsense? You know, well, your father and I don't believe that. You know, I mean, okay. They probably already know that before they came and brought it to you. And if you have a real strong reaction to them, then they're going to say, okay, I get it. We don't discuss things around here. I'll just keep it to myself next time. Is that what you want? I don't think so. I think you would rather they come to you with the things they're thinking, even if it's off the wall, and at least know where they are and know what they're thinking. And keep this in mind. I pointed this out last time. I think actually Ted Tripp pointed that out. Their ideas are half-baked. They're still trying to figure out where they are. So just because they say they think they're here, they may not really totally be there. They may be kind of like experimenting with that, and they're just laying it out to see what you think or see what they think. So don't get too wound up about it, even on that count. But here's the other thing I would say. Looks like my second point came up there, and I didn't even plan for it. Rather than always teaching, ask questions that make them think through their stated opinion to its logical conclusion. Lately, I've kind of been onto, there's a rising star at Fox News, and I don't watch much TV, but we have a way of watching some of the stuff on the internet. We don't even have a television subscription. And I was alerted to him by, it was an interview in a magazine I read recently where somebody was actually Rush Limbaugh, was talking to him about Tucker Carlson's style of dealing with the people he has on his show. How many of you are familiar with Tucker Carlson? Have you seen him on Fox News? Yay? No? No, not very many. Alice raised her hand. he's just one of the guys on Fox News, and his style is a very interesting style. He'll bring a liberal onto the program. He's pretty much a conservative guy, as a lot of the guys on Fox are, right? So he pretty much has a conservative outlook on some political view, you name the topic, whatever it is. And he'll bring in a Democrat or a liberal who has like a totally opposite opinion from what he has. And it'd be like one all of us would think was totally off the wall. And he'll bring this guy in. And instead of... Now, I have seen him actually engage people in argument and do very well with it. But a lot of times what he does, instead of arguing with them, he just asks them their opinion, and they give some really great... Like, he brought a guy... We were watching one the other night, I think it was last week, talking about building the wall, okay? to keep the aliens out from Mexico, from crossing the Mexican border. And so Carlson's saying, now, I understand you're against the idea of building a wall. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I think walls are terrible. You know, it makes it harder to catch people who cross the border. okay. And he said, I don't think walls work. And Carlson's like, okay, but like, you know about the wall in Israel, and it works really well. And he named several other walls around the world that worked. He says, what about those walls? Well, yeah, but this is different. You know, this is like, oh, yeah, how's it different? And he has this way. He has a facial expression when he's listening to somebody that's giving some off-the-wall opinion that just cracks me up because it just kind of... I don't know if I'm doing it right, but anyhow, I bring all that up to say I like the way he does that. He'll take somebody who has an outlandish opinion and rather than just say, that's ridiculous, I disagree with you, I think we should have a wall. You know, now, Tucker does think that, but instead of just hitting him hard like that and having a big, nasty clash, he just says, really? What about this over here? What about that over there? Are you sure about that? And the one guy he had on talking about that subject, by the time he got done with that guy, you could tell that guy was moving his hands nervously. He was feeling very, very, very stressed at trying to defend his silly view. And all Carlton was just to ask a lot of questions like, really? What about this? What about that? Are you sure? And I'm saying to you that that's a good approach to take with teenagers a lot of times. Is, you know, if they come up with something goofy, well, make them think it through. Really? You think that? What about this? What about that? And see what they say. And maybe they'll have some good answers for you. Who knows? But I'm not saying they're always nuts, but if you think they are, give them a chance and try to approach it that way. Again, I'm not saying never teach them. I'm not saying even never disagree with them. You might even say, well, as you know, I don't really think that, but okay, let's talk about that. And then kind of go into it that way. All I'm trying to say is don't jump down their throat. Don't leap on them. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's helpful. It'll be your natural reaction, and you probably will do it. Hey, I was the world's worst, believe me. I'm often telling you to do things that I didn't always do real well. I'd be more likely to say, what? That's ridiculous, you know, and just, you know. And so a lot of times they were hesitant to come to me with things, and that probably wasn't good. Didn't always do that, though. I did do better as time went on. Don't be quick to criticize or ridicule everything the world says and produces, even though you're right. Ask your teens to tell you what they see wrong with a humanistic statement on the news, or what's wrong with the values a particular movie exhibits. In other words, teach them to think for themselves. And I was really bad about this. We'd watch a movie, I think I told you stories about this, and we'd come out of the movie, and I would just be steaming, man. I mean, that was so worldly. That was, you know, they were trying to get us to believe that's X, Y, Z, and I think I'm right about that. But it wasn't real helpful to come out of the movie all wound up and pounding the table, because they were like, okay, I don't want to watch movies with Dad anymore. It's just, you know, it's stressful. He gets all wound up and gets all upset. I was just enjoying the movie. I didn't even notice all that silly stuff. What you can do, and I did try to learn how to do this over time, is you can say, you know, I like this and this and this about the movie. It was a good movie as far as that went. But what do you think about the idea? They seem to be getting across idea X, Y, or Z. Did you kind of pick up on that, or is that just me? You know, find out if they are with you there. And if they say, yeah, I did kind of get that idea from the movie. Well, what do you think about that idea? How does that square with what we think as Christians or whatever? And get them to think about it a little bit. Instead of just, you know, doing what I wanted to do. Just pound the table. All right, so there's some things on that. Another area. Train your teens, I say especially boys, to become totally self-sufficient from you economically, physically, and emotionally. A boy we're hoping to send out to start his own household, and they need to start as their teens. And I'm not saying you don't do that with girls to some degree, you do. I personally think that boys, and again, I wouldn't necessarily exempt girls on this, but you might want to. I personally think that boys should be doing meaningful work by 12 or 13 years of age. Yard work, housework, whatever. I strongly encourage my boys and put incentives in the right direction for my boys to go out and mow lawns or rake leaves or whatever for the neighbors, just around the neighborhood. And when they were 12 or 13 years old. And I think that was really good for them. A teen of 16 or 17 should have the experience of having worked for several bosses, at least over the summers. Even if you don't want to work during the school year, you say, well, they can't work during the school year, they're too busy studying. Okay, I get that. Although I have my kids do it. A young man can learn in a hurry what he doesn't want to do for a lifetime. Boy, that's so true. Let them learn that while they're young. There was my son Jason thought he wanted to be an engineer once upon a time, and that ended up not panning out at all. But early on, he thought he wanted to be one. So one summer, he's in his late teens, I don't remember exactly how old he is, I had a friend who worked for an engineering firm in town, Garber and Garber, I think it was. And this friend said, hey, I know you have an older son. I know somebody at Garber and Garber who could get him on down there to get him a summer job. What would he think about that? And I said, oh, that's a good question. So I asked Jason, he goes, yeah, I'd be up for that. And I think he's picturing like I'm picturing, he's going to be in the office and looking over blueprints with engineers and whatnot, you know. So, yeah, they hired him, and they threw him in the back of a pickup truck with a bunch of other guys, and they took him out to some undeveloped area and made him go out there with all the snakes and ticks and bugs and, you know, tiggers and all that, and he had to be involved in labor clearing the stickers and all the plants out of the way so they could get ready to build a new building they were going to build out there that the engineers were working on. That was his job for the summer. He hated that job. It was horrible. I would have hated it too. I felt sorry for him. But honestly, I mean, he learned. He said, I do not want to do this when I get done with school. I want to do something better. So I don't blame you. So it didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt him. I thought it was good for him to do that, to have that experience. All right, another area. Think through with your teen whether or not it's a good idea for them to go to college. And I say here, there are other options. Now, it's sort of orthodoxy in our day, and maybe you're of this opinion, and I'm fine if you think that if a kid doesn't go to school, it's just, boy or girl, it's career suicide. I mean, you're going to end up being a blue-collar worker. How terrible that is. You're not going to have any kind of a meaningful job. You won't be able to earn enough money to do anything worthwhile or meaningful. All kids need to go to college. All kids need to get a degree. If you think that, then you think that. I would say I understand that to some degree. I know there are certain careers where that's probably true, although maybe not as true as you might think. For example, I do not have a degree. I went to college for a year or two, sort of spotty, and I just got so bored. It's like, I already know this stuff. I could go out and do this stuff. But I was real into technology and computers, and I was doing it at a time when the colleges were behind. They were teaching stuff in school about computers that was so outdated and so outmoded. And I don't think that's true anymore, but at the time it was. And at the time, the field, it was such a clamoring for people who knew technology that they didn't care if you had a degree or not. So I got hired in, and I got experience. And all these years later, I still don't have a degree. There have been times in my career when I went to apply for a job somewhere, and there was someone on the hiring staff who went, "What? No degree? We're not hiring that guy. I won't hire anybody that doesn't have a degree. That's ridiculous. He's uneducated." And there were people who thought that, and there were probably jobs I didn't get because of that. But I've always had a very well-paying job in a field that's normally considered requiring a college degree. I didn't get a college degree. I had four kids. Roger went to college for a while and then dropped out, and he never got any kind of degree. Gina never went to college. Jason went to college and got a degree. He went 5 years or so and even spent time over Germany studying. I mean, he was the academician in the family. Got a degree with a minor. I think he had a degree in, here's a real helpful degree, Western Civilization. And he had a minor in German, which he speaks German quite fluently. Nice. Those degrees have nothing to do with what he does today. And my anecdotal experience is many people go to college and get a degree in something that they don't use later. How helpful is that? Well, some people would counter, well, yeah, but at least he has a degree. And some people say, yeah, he has a degree, though, so that shows he can get in there and work and learn, and it's worth something. And maybe it is. Maybe it is. I'm trying to give you both sides here. Josh, he never had any interest in going to college. He went to Pulaski Votech and got a certification in auto mechanics. Not really like going to college, but it was a training for a particular thing. And I think I've told you, he went all the way, finished the program, and said, "I don't want to do this for a living. I don't want to be an auto mechanic." And so he went off, and he's not doing auto mechanic work today. So none of my kids went to college and got a degree and did what they got a degree for. Maybe yours will. I'm not saying they can't, but there are alternatives. There are also alternatives even as far as, and I think, Ethan, if I'm not mistaken, you figured out a way to take college courses online rather than have to go to the class, right? He's not. So I think that's cool. Well, one of the things that bothers me about college, honestly, is it's, yes, ostensibly it's teaching you to learn a career, and you are getting real true knowledge in college. You do get that. I understand. But I think at the same time, it's a brainwashing center to indoctrinate our kids with liberal views. And our kids go off to college and they get indoctrinated with all that nonsense. And if you're not there and helping them engage that, they can end up being brainwashed with the rest of them very easily. And I think it's nonsense. I think that stuff can be countered. I think it should be countered. I wanted to go back to school sometimes just to get in there and argue with them. I don't care if they flunk me. But anyhow, that's me. So all that to say, college is, think it through. Do they really need college? If you think they do, great. Well, I'm not saying don't go to college. I'm just saying there's options. If they are planning to go to college, you talk it over and say, yeah, they're going to go. We'll help them think about which colleges are a good choice for them and why. I'm sure some of you have already done this who have teens. Jason and I would make a field trip and, say, hey, I heard about a college down here in South Arkansas, whatever. Let's go down there and check it out. We'd go down there and I'd make an appointment with somebody and he'd give us a tour and all that. And it just gives you a little bit of a feel for what kind of a college he's going to go to or she's going to go to. And it'd be good if it was a college that they don't tend to be oriented towards a liberal view and brainwash you. But then again, you may say, I don't care. My kid's strong enough to handle that. And we're just worried about them going to a really good college. I have a guy who's my eye doctor, and he's a Christian guy, and he has a view that if you're not going to an Ivy League school, you're just wasting your time. That's his view. I don't agree with him on that. And every one of my kids, but my eye doctor's a real funny guy. When he's working on your eyes and giving you an eye test, the whole time he's asking you questions in between about, well, how's things going in your life? And with my kids, they'll be saying, well, so you think about going to college? Where are you going to go to college? If they name some college in Arkansas that's kind of a Christian college or something, he's like, oh, I don't know if you're going to be able to get a job going to that college. You should really think about going to Notre Dame or, you know, some other big Ivy League school. And I'm like, get out of here. I am not a fan of Ivy League schools, personally. But again, if you are, I don't have a verse against Ivy League schools. I'm just saying. Think about it. I personally think, now this is another one I'm going to go against modern orthodoxy. I personally think it's a good idea for a young person to pay for part or even all of their own college education. Now, many parents don't believe this. Many parents say, no, parents are supposed to pay for the college education. And if you think that, and that's your deal, I'm not here to tell you not to do it particularly. I didn't do it. In fact, I sat down, Jason's the only one who went to college. And when we had a talk about, you know, are you going to help me pay for it? I said, if I were a millionaire, I would not pay for your college education because I don't think you appreciate what you don't work for. And I said, now you can live at home and I'll help you in every other way I can come alongside and work with you, but you know, you need to get a scholarship or figure out a way to pay for your own college education. That was my view. And I held that with all the kids. Again, you're free to totally disagree with me on that, but I really think that kids, it's like anybody, people appreciate things they work for. And so I felt like at least if they had a part in working for it, I mean, why should he try for a scholarship if I'm going to pay for it anyways? You know, all my kids, even, all my kids, Roger, I think, got a scholarship. I just told him, if you want to go, try to get a scholarship. There's plenty of them out there. And most of the scholarships I like because you have to make good grades to keep them. So there's a certain amount of work involved. And it puts the incentive in the right direction rather than just, I've seen so many people in college, their parents paid for their education. They didn't value it. They were there to party, party, party all the time. And, that's just the way it worked. And I'm not saying it has to always happen, but something to think about. We're going to have a discussion on all this, so you're all free to disagree with any of this. help your teens think about what they would like to do as adults. What are their career plans? Get them thinking about this. I remember when I was a senior in high school, people said, so what are you going to be when you get done with high school? I don't know. I never thought about it. You know, really? You're going to have to decide pretty soon, aren't you? Yeah. I think I'm going to go to college. Okay, what are you going to go to college to learn? I don't know. Well, help your kids kind of process that because they just tend to, they're in kid mode, they're in high school mode, and they're not thinking about that deal out there that's just around the corner. I did it. It was dumb. Do they plan to marry and raise a family? That's something to think about. You know, the Bible allows for there are those who are gifted to be single. Nothing wrong with that. My son Roger feels like that's where he is. He has no plans on getting married. He's totally happy being single. The others all got married. It just depends. So help them think that through. If your teen, here we go. I'm going against all orthodoxy here. Although I think I have more agreement from most of you on this and probably than some things. If your teen, boy or girl, plans to marry and have a family, help them think through the idea of having the mom stay at home with the kids. I don't know how you feel about that, but I personally think and have taught already in this class, I think it's ideal if you're going to have young kids that the parents actually raise the kids and not farm them out all day to somebody else. And it's best if a mom can stay home while the dad works. That's my view. It's a traditional view. I don't know if I have super strong scripture I could give you on that. I have some things I think are suggestive, but I wouldn't push it. But if you think that, help them think that. Because in 1994, that's a long time ago, although it doesn't seem long ago to me. In 1994, a nationwide poll of teenagers, this is the New York Times, found this. I don't know if this will shock you or not. 86% of girls said they expected to work when they're married. Only 7% said they expect to stay at home. 86% of girls. In 1994, do you think it's gotten any better since then? I think it's probably gotten worse. I don't have any recent surveys, so I can't prove it, but catch this. Among the boys, 58% said they expect their wives to work outside the home. Only 19% expect them to stay home. So the guys aren't thinking that along the lines that we're talking about either. Talk to your kids about this. And I know so many cases where the wife actually got to the point where she really did want to stay at home when she had the baby. And the husband's like, I need your income, man. You need to get out there. And we'll just keep paying for child care. Don't worry about it. Both need to be on board with that idea. Something to think about. I think it's a good idea to require teens to do everything they're capable of for themselves. As much as you can, have them do their own stuff for themselves. They need to. They need to learn it. Keeping their room clean and picked up. I mean, you could do this with a toddler, for heaven's sakes. Doing their own laundry, wash, fold, iron, put away. They need to learn how to do all that stuff. What happens when they get out on their own? If you do it all for them, they're going to be up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. Clean up after themselves and others. Well, I didn't make the mess. I don't care. Clean it up. Helping with home repair and maintenance. I think about boys primarily on this, but girls can learn how to fix stuff around the house. Why not? I personally think an older teen should not expect anyone to take care of him or her. That should not be the expectation. A boy should be able to cook. I'm kind of crossing traditional roles here a little bit. I will say with my kids, I tended to emphasize certain things with the boys and certain things with the girls. We have a very traditional outlook. Sandy and I follow very traditional patterns of our marriage. She's been a stay-at-home mom. She works outside the home now because the kids are grown and raised, but she's been a stay-at-home mom. She does the house cleaning. She does the laundry. She does the cook. You don't want me doing the cooking. And on the other hand, if a car breaks, you know, she expects to come in and say, hey, my car's making a funny noise, or and I'm supposed to take care of it. Or if something around the house needs fixed, I take care of it. I'm the one who earns the primary lion's share of the income. Even now when she's working, I earn a much larger share than what she earns. I feel like that's my responsibility. But your kids can be cross-trained. My wife taught all our kids to cook. And my youngest son married a girl who... her parents never taught her how to cook. So they got married, and she's like, I don't exactly know how to cook. So my son did the cooking for the first little while they were married, and he taught her how to cook. Now, I think he's pretty much delegated that to her now. They've kind of moved to a traditional type role. But it was helpful that he knew how to cook. On the same token, a girl should be able to check the oil in the car. Why not? You know, if she has a car, she's got to be able to check her own oil. We think, oh, that's terrible. Girls shouldn't have to do that. Well, okay. I'm just saying, it wouldn't hurt. They should both be able to balance a checkbook, manage your own finances, and do a lot of other things. So, just one more comic here. Again, this is today's actually in today's paper. So you got Jeremy's going, his dad sitting there, he says, we're out of milk. And the dad just goes, huh, bummer. So Jeremy's like, Mom starts to walk by, right? So he says, Mom, we're out of milk. I'm sorry, I'll get some today. Are you hungry? Here, let me fix you something better than cereal. And so he's sitting there looking at him. He's got there a stack of pancakes and eggs and orange juice, right? And he looks at his dad. You have a lot to learn about parenting. And dad says, yeah, by all means, teach me. That comic says it all. It says so much. So there you go. All right. Time for questions. Let's see how we're doing here. I hope I got... not too bad. Okay. Got a lot of questions. So, what do you think about the idea of allowing teens to fail as long as it's not an area that's dangerous? What do you think about the idea of allowing your teens to express opinions that you don't agree with, and rather than immediately jumping down their throat, giving them your opinion, interacting with them and asking them questions to help them think through their views? What do you think about the idea of expecting your teens to learn self-sufficiency by taking on responsibilities around the house and even insisting that they get a paying job working for someone else? What do you think about that idea? So I've got another screen full of ideas, but let's just start with these and see what your thoughts are. You know, again, there's latitude for disagreement here. I have the opinions that I have. I think I can sort of tie a lot of them back to biblical principles, but not tightly. Not tightly. This is moving into the realm of wisdom, opinion. We can differ on this, and it's okay. So I want to hear from you. If you think differently, if you think I've said something in one of these areas, I'm going to ask about some of the other areas in the next. I got one more slide of questions. I'm happy to hear. It's just like I'm telling. I'm really, in a way, I'm sort of modeling what I'm saying you should do with your teenagers, aren't I? I'm teaching you, but then I'm saying I'm willing to hear what you have to say, and I'll ask you questions. Why do you think that? Or whatever. You know, it's like it's okay. So, what do you think? Thoughts on any of these things? Or maybe you agree. You're welcome to agree too. You don't have to disagree. You can say, yeah, I see the value of that. Yeah.
Or are you saying really try to prevent, don't let them do something that you know is going to fail? Or are you just saying after they fail inevitably, don't fix it all for them and make them suffer?
Yeah, that is a good question. We don't want them to fail, obviously. Sometimes you will be able to prepare them ahead of time, like say, now you see something's coming up here. You know, and maybe they haven't been through that before, so you're going to kind of give them a little heads up, maybe give them a little prodding, if you will. But sometimes it sneaks up on you, like you didn't know they were given a homework assignment in school, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, it's the last minute, I'm just due tomorrow, I'm going to be up all night working on it. Well, there really wasn't much you could do to head that off. So you just, rather than jumping in there with them, I would just let them do whatever they're going to do with it myself. Or it could be, another thing, too, you don't want to be constantly nagging them. Like, if you've already told them and they've already been instructed that they need to do preparation in a particular area and they're just not doing it, I would quit nagging them. Just let them fail. So it just depends. Does that answer the question, kind of? Or would I need to say more about that?
There's just bigger areas of failure that
sure.
You see it, you know, they go down that path.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if it's an area where it's going to take years for them to experience the consequences of it, then if that's what you're talking about, in that case, I'd be a lot more lenient towards trying to help, because they don't know. You know, like I was talking about, even thinking about a career or something like that, you know, I mean, that's a way, I'm fine with that. I'm just talking about parents who, you know, like that mom in the comic, you know, she's so busy just wanting to make everything so unstressful for the kids. It's okay for them to, you know, be out of milk one day. That's fine. That's not even their failure. I mean, that's okay. Things can go wrong. Yeah, Michelle, I need to get closer to the question because y'all are in the back of the room. So let me. Go ahead.
I'll meet you halfway. I do have a comment for that first one.
That Nancy
kind of bouncing off of that even, but first let me just say that I feel very strongly about all three of these.
Yeah.
Very personal about all three of these.
Okay.
And I agree with all three of these.
Oh, well, good.
But anyway, as far as that first one goes, though, you know, the first thing that sticks out in my mind for this as far as an example of seeing what could happen if you're not allowing the growth of that independence in a way that they don't, your kids don't, eventually depend on you for everything that they need is that my sister is living at home with my parents with two kids. She's 27 years old. She has no job. Yep. She has no ambition because my parents provide everything that she needs as far as food and everything else. She has no appreciation for what my parents do to provide a roof for her and her children. She's constantly complaining about the fact that, you know, I want to live in my own house with my own kids and buy my own stuff for me, and I'd feel so much better if I could just go buy things for myself. And I mean, there's a lot of other issues there.
Yeah.
But my parents have provided this secure safety net that she has no appreciation for them. She has no appreciation or drive to even get out and make her own way, but she'll still, you know, complain about, you know, their rules, their house. Well, I live here too. You know, all sorts of things. And you know, I don't want to disrespect my parents or, you know,
sure,
talk poorly about this, but
right,
I think they're wrong in a lot of areas in this concerning my sister, and it rings so loud the importance of allowing them to fail so that they're not scared of failing.
Yeah.
And actually growing in, you know, an ambition. The way I've put it even to Lindsay, when we've talked about it, is, you know, you don't want your kids to fail in big areas where they're going to end up homeless on the street.
Right.
But now's the time to let them fail.
Yep.
So that's not going to happen. When you're dead and gone, they don't have a choice.
Right.
But to make their own way. So.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It's become proverbial almost for in our day. You know, the 26-year-old who lives in the basement of his parents' house. But a lot of it, like you say, is because the parents are, in effect, sort of they're supporting that, probably with good intentions at some level. They want their kids to succeed. They don't want their kids to fail. They don't want their kids to have pain. What parent doesn't feel that way? But yeah, you go as far as that, and you did bring out another aspect, which is they don't even really appreciate it when you do that a lot of times. There's no appreciation. If you don't allow them to experience what could happen, then they don't appreciate it when you give them advice to the contrary or when they have to do something that helps head that off. So, yeah, good thoughts on that. Anything on some of the others about you know, letting the kids give their opinion, not jumping down their throat, or making them take responsibility. Any thoughts on any of that?
I don't think my question here has to do with these three, but when you said,
okay,
when you were talking about liberal education.
Yes.
I know you're talking about morally liberal education.
Yes.
Not academically liberal education.
Right, no.
So you're not talking about vocational versus liberal.
Right. Okay. Right, yeah. I was talking about the colleges have managed to, especially like even you go to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, my son went there. And there was a class, I forget what they called it, but I just call it the anti-Christian class, because the whole point of the class was to make a mockery of Christianity and try to go back and rewrite history to twist things to where it looked like Christians were just evil, rotten, nasty people throughout history, and Christianity is a farce. That was the point of the class. And those courses, that was a required course. He was taking Western civilization. I guess you could tie that together. It didn't matter what he took. He could have been taking an engineering course. He would have been required to take a course like that. That's what I'm talking about with liberal. And I know there's such thing as liberal arts as opposed to whatever, or, you know, using college as a career versus something else. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the brainwashing process there. So, yeah. Other thoughts? Yes, Nancy.
I would just caution against accepting the idea, though, that, okay, when your child is six, they have to learn this much, or, you know, why, one, they have to be able to, you know, all these cookie cutter assembly line things. And
sure,
to me, that same idea can be applied to, okay, they're 18, cut them off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if they're this age and they should be doing this or they should be doing that, as long as they are being responsible and they are doing, you know, having the character and the moral issues, working hard, blah, 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 blah. To me, it's not a big deal. For instance, that Ethan still lives at our house.
Right.
I think that's a moral failure that, oh, no,
no,
he's 24, he doesn't have his own house.
Right.
You know, I personally, because, again, God is sovereign. He has not met his wife yet. So
right.
I don't see the reason to push someone out just because
sure,
you're a certain age and to prove that you're a man. He proves it in many other ways.
Yes.
Besides that, he has paid for a different reason. So that caution against the idea of, oh, there are certain age they have to be doing this and fit in this mold.
Right. And I understand and I appreciate that. And as you say, you know, Ethan's done a lot of things that show that he's responsible. He's holding a job. He's earning an income. He does. He's very much independent. I mean, I know him a little bit, so you know. So we're always talking about you, Ethan, third person. You're welcome to contribute if you want to the conversation. So I appreciate where that is. Now, you know, that we will have variations between us as how we parent, because I was fairly hard on that in the sense that I told my kids, okay, if you're going to go to school, after you get out of high school, fine. As long as you're in school, you can continue to live at home. But once you're done with school and you're done all your training and that's it, I said, it's time for you to move out. That was the way I did it. I'm not saying you all have to do that. You obviously don't do that. And I'm not saying you're a moral failure. I just felt like it was in the best interest of the kids, for me personally, and with my kids anyways. And, My kids are very fiercely independent and very fiercely self-sufficient, probably in part because I did that, but that doesn't mean everybody has to do exactly the same way. There can be variations, as you're saying here, and I certainly have no problem with what's going on with Ethan. So thanks for making that point. Other thoughts? Yeah.
I don't feel strongly about this, but okay. It's kind of where I lean, and I could be wrong, but when we raise our sons to be leaders in the home, to be the providers, and that we want our daughters to be stay-at-home moms, the provider needs to provide.
Yes.
And I know just to have a house and insurance and the things you need takes a good income these days.
It does.
I'm not talking about vacations and boats and just to right. live. You need a good income. And I feel like guys need college to get that income. It's hard to go out and do certain things because you're just not going to make any money.
Yeah. And that's why I put the qualifiers on that I did a while ago. I understand that mindset and that thinking, and I am not down on parents who encourage their kids to go to college. My parents encouraged me to go to college, you know. I didn't finish. And I didn't discourage my kids from going to college. You know, I talked to them about what you're saying. I said, now, you know, you got to think about what you're going to do for a career. What are you going to do? And, you know, if there are some ways you can get a career, maybe. And there's nothing wrong with necessarily not having a blue-collar job and maybe not being living on the finest street, you know, in the city and all that. I mean, not everybody has to, like you say, you're not talking about boats and vacations, but even they have to have some kind of meaningful employment. And if they work hard and they go to work for any company, eventually they'll be able to get in somewhere, even if they don't have a college degree necessarily. But I realize there's some careers it's like, no way you can get in that career. You can't be a doctor without a college degree, if that's what you want to become, or a lawyer.
You can't be a teacher without a degree.
Correct. You can't be a teacher.
But when I wanted to get out of teaching so that I could be at home some and do other things, there was nothing out there I could get as a teacher without, and or just make piddly money like at Walmart cashier. I'm like,
right.
It's not even worth my time to go do.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
I love how Andrea qualified what she meant by provider, because we've evolved. Well, culture has evolved what being a provider means. From where it began, putting food on the table, to now meeting the American dream, having a house so many square foot, and then to pay for all the toys like a bass boat, and rather than going back and saying, hey, get food on the table.
Yeah.
That's being a provider.
Yeah. And, you know, and some of that, you can train on two ends for that, too. One end is earning a good income so you can pay for those things. But the other thing is very, very important, and we often overlook it, is managing your money well. My wife and I were very, very poor for many years. I mean, most of you know me as a guy who's pretty much got money right now because I have a very good paying job and have had for a long time. But there was a time when we were dirt poor. We were so poor, my mom came out to visit us and she cried. She said, I can't believe you're so poor, but you're so happy. Mom, happiness is a good thing. I know, but you're so poor. You know, and we were. We were just so poor. But we always ate. We always had a roof over our head, and I know how to manage money if I don't have money. I don't like it. You know, it would kill me to go back to not being able to earn the money that I earn now. I've gotten really used to, you know, a cushy existence, I will admit. But you can do it. You can do a lot if you don't waste money, if you use it well. And that's something all of us need to learn, all of our kids need to learn, I think. So there's two sides to the, you know, being able to earn a good living and put food on the table and do the things you need to do. How are we looking here?
Let me throw this
out. Okay, go ahead.
Because I do lean toward that side.
Yes.
I have a child who has no idea what he wants to do. I mean, he has some, but now we're going to put him in school and third person.
Yeah, yeah.
Not knowing what he wants to do, and I'm like, is that sensible? You know, he
right.
He has mentioned at one point, can I just work for a year and then go to school? No!
Yeah.
And there's also the things, you know, your ACT is what's going to put you in school.
Yes.
If you wait, I don't want to lose that.
Right, right. Yeah, and it can get you scholarships, too. Your score on the ACT or...
School, but if you wait, it won't.
Yeah, so that is a unique time, and if they're going to go to college or even thinking about going to college, they probably want to go that route and start getting getting things in gear. What else concerned? And it is hard, you know, like you said, you're going to college, you don't even know what you want to be. Lots of kids are in that position. And for a while, Huh?
I would say the overwhelming majority of them are.
Probably so.
We're still in that position.
So, you know, the first year or two, you can put, you know, you get your prerequisites out of the way, as I used to say. So that's okay. But at some point, you're like, okay, now we got to pick a specialty here, you know. And maybe you can help with that. Maybe, I mean, there should be things in their life that show they have an interest or ability in some area. And maybe you can put them in touch with somebody who's doing that and get some encouragement from them in that. Or like, I remember Jason, he thought he wanted to be an engineer. Like I said, he didn't end up going that route. I made an appointment with the head of the engineering department out at University of Arkansas, Fayetteville. And we spent the day with a guy. And he was so enthusiastic about engineering. He took us around and showed us where they were making robots on the assembly line and everything like that. And he was throwing out all this jargon and stuff. And what was funny is, in that appointment, I was really connecting with the guy. I have sort of an engineering mentality. And Jason seemed a little bit bored. You know, I think at that point he still thought he wanted to be an engineer, but I think it was probably a step toward him realizing, I don't know that I do want to be an engineer, you know, for example. So yeah, it's kind of a hard thing. And sometimes maybe get a few years out of the way, and maybe you work as a cashier at Walmart for a while until you get your head together and figure out what you want to do. Or sometimes you have to get into I have a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? And it's about how to find a job. I've recommended it to a couple of you when you've been looking for work. And it talks about fields of work. Like, there are certain things that just make you feel good. Like, my wife likes being out in the outdoors with the garden and plants and dirt. You know, where I don't necessarily feel that good with that. I love being in a room with technology and screens and wires and lights. And it just certain fields have a feel to them, and you like that feel. Well, that's a little bit of a clue of maybe which way you want to go. Maybe. That's a thought. I've known people who've gone really extreme with this whole thing. I know one guy who went, there was some kind of a test you could take. He went to Texas to take it. And they gave you this extensive battery of tests of all the areas that you might have an interest in or might be good at. And they gave you a score and gave you a recommendation. You know, that's pretty out there. But hey, why not if you can afford it and you know a place like that. All right, well, we've run out of time. I've got another screen of questions. So what I'll do is next time I'll review a little bit and we'll pick up and ask some more questions, because I think this is really important stuff, I think. And so I hope you think so, and I hope that you find it valuable. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the ability to have these kind of discussions in a reasonable, unheated way, and to show respect and honor for one another. Not all these things are as clear-cut as we might wish they were, and help us to make decisions in areas where it's a little bit not as cut and dried. And yet it's so important. It's so important that we give our kids a good start and give them a good opportunity. We pray things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.